free from Cambridge khutbas, etc. Hope you enjoy it and benefit from it. Please consider donating for the new Cambridge Mosque. Visit www.cambridgemosqueismoving.org.uk.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز ومن يعصهما فقد ضل ضلالا بعيدا اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يهاجر في سبيل الله يجد في الأرض مراغما كثيرا وسعا Sadaqallahul Azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever migrates in the path of Allah shall find in the earth many rewarding things and an abundance. This is part of the human condition. We are mobile. Some aspects of creation, some orders of creation stay in one place. The jamad, the lifeless things, stay in one place by and large. So do the plants. As one moves up towards human beings, potentially the summit of creation, we find there is a principle of mobility, and this we find particularly in the lives of the greatest ones, who are the Anbiya, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. At this time of year, we commemorate and recall one of the great migrations of history, an exodus from Egypt into Palestine, that Arab that was promised us. And this was accompanied by a whole range of signs. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى تِسْعَ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ We gave Musa 9 clear signs. And if you look here and there in the Qur'an, you can find these. Some of them come right at the beginning of his prophetic ministry. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى What's that in your right hand, O Musa? قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها وأخش بها على غنمي ولي فيها مآرب أخرى And he replies, it's my staff. I use it to lean upon and I use it to knock leaves off trees for my sheep and I have other uses for it. قال ألقها يا موسى And he said, cast it down, O Musa. فألقاها فإذا هي حية تسعى And he cast it down, and behold, it was a snake moving about. وَاجْعَلْ يَدَكَ فِي جَيْبِكَ تَخْرُجُ بَيْضَاءَ مِنْ غَيْرِ سُوءٍ And then put your hand into your sleeve, and it will come out shining bright, without any harm. And with these two signs, these initial signs, he is to go to compete with the magicians of Pharaoh. What is the purpose of that encounter? It's twofold. Firstly, he calls upon Pharaoh to cease his oppression. And secondly, he asks Pharaoh to let his people go, to engage in this hijrah, to migrate. And there's the famous long discussion between Sayyidina Musa and Fir'aun, in which Fir'aun is just saying, he's your lord. Mar Rabbukuma, ya Musa. Who is your lord? Moses was speaking to Aaron as well. قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى And he says, our Lord, including you, is the one who gave everything its created form and then guided it. The basic argument that one gives to somebody who doesn't know the first thing about the existence of creative force behind the cosmos. Those are the two first signs. But then others come. Years of drought. سنين ونقصٍ من الثمرات We are given drought. Having been warned, having been shown these two signs, having witnessed the conversion of his own magicians, Fir'aun still turns away. Istakbara, his proud. Ala fil ard, is puffed up with pride in the earth. So Egypt is afflicted with the drought. And then, wa arsalna alayhim. After this sign, when he still did not come around, come to his senses, see the reality of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over this creation where Fir'aun thought that he alone was powerful, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا, then we sent upon him a tufan, عليهم الطوفان والجراد والقملة والضفادع والدمى آيات بينات فاستكبروا وكانوا قوما مجرمين. And then we sent upon them the flood. The Nile flooded unnaturally. That was another sign. And when it subsided, Pharaoh returned to his former ways and his former claims. He still didn't get the point. And then the plague of locusts, and then the plague of frogs, and then the plague of lice, and then the plague of blood. So that you get the nine signs altogether made up by the time finally the people are allowed to go. فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا وَكَانُوا قَوْمًا مُجْرِمِينَ, but they were proud and they were people of criminality. Nonetheless, the migration begins. And the migration that they take is not the way that everybody used to take to get from Egypt to Palestine. There was a road, well-frequented road, which crossed into Sinai, roughly where Port Said is now located, and then went along the Mediterranean coast of Sinai into Palestine. Instead, they crossed much further south, and you can still see the wells of Musa alayhi salam in southern Palestine. And the mount, Sinai, is towards the south of the peninsula. And the reason for that, the historians say, is because that they knew they were going to be followed. And so they took this roundabout route. But also at this time of year, we think about another hijrah, another migration. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated himself from the land of Mecca to the land of Medina. And it's helpful to consider the similarities and also the differences. The similarities are, of course, that the pharaohs of the time, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, Abu Sufyan, and the others, are given plenty of warning. They are shown signs. But again, they are people of istikbar, of arrogance, their hearts are hard. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some remarkable signs and miracles. The famous incident when he waits in Mecca to make sure that every last one of his sahaba have left before he himself goes, the reason being, according to historians, twofold. Firstly, that he wants to make sure that everybody, particularly the weak and women, have left before he himself leaves. And secondly, because it was his custom to have in his house amanat, things that people were put in his house to hold in trust, and he wanted to make sure that he'd paid off all of those things before he left for the city of Medina. He alone, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, are in the city of Mecca. Everybody else effectively is a pagan, a few family members still there, a few people who are too weak or who are enslaved and hence can't make the hijrah. And the famous Knight of Long Knives, when the Quraysh decide to do away with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the famous incident where he puts his green cloak over the shoulders of Sayyidina Ali, who sleeps in his place, so that the Quraysh think that he's still there. And in order to escape from the house and get past the murderers, famously, according to the hadith, according to all of the historians, he sprinkles some earth over their heads as he goes out of the door and recites the verse from Yasin, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And we made a barrier in front of them and a barrier behind them, and we covered them so that they could not see. And he goes off and he makes the final arrangements for the hijrah. It's one of the great adventure stories of history. And then he goes, Sayyidina Ali goes this way, and he goes with Abu Bakr, Thani Ithnain, radiallahu anhu. And they make their way to Jabal Thawr, which is, there's still people there, you can visit it, slightly to the south of the city of Mecca, and so obviously not the place where one would head for if you were heading for Medina. And they're in the cave. And we all know the famous story of the dove and the eggs and the spider. But to my mind, one of the most amazing things about the story is that they're there for 3 days in the cave, and there's a reward on their head, a posse is looking for them. Abu Jahl has offered 100 she-camels, which is like millions of pounds in the currency of the day. And the one who keeps it going, the one who we tend to forget, Abu Bakr's daughter Asma, She's young, she's still a teenager, she's weak, she's known to be beautiful. She is the one who brings them food and water. From the house in Mecca, nobody's looking at her because in their universe, she's just a girl. You don't pay attention to her, but she's the one who makes the whole Hijra possible. She goes from her house every night when it's dark up the mountain to Jabal Thawr, to the cave. Nowadays that would be quite a feat. You can imagine what it was like then when there were no torches and of course she couldn't have a light with her. It was pure darkness in the night. She was alone doing something that was lethally dangerous. But yet she does this, radiallahu anha. And of course later she becomes an important figure in the city of Medina when the sun is finally rising on the story of the Muslim community. So they're in the cave together, trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَحْسَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. And then they leave. And then the story of their exodus starts to look very much like the story of the exodus of Moses. Because again, rather than following the obvious road along the coast, they go further south to a place called Osfen, and then to a place called Qudayd, and then they take little known tracks until several weeks later they reach the city of Medina and the new horizon for Islam begins and our calendar begins. It's a remarkable story, a story of courage and a story of faith. So much was riding on the shoulders of the two friends as they travelled alone through hostile terrain, trying to find their way to the city very far to the north. So much was riding upon that, but then they succeeded. Our calendar, the way we divide our time, is based on those heroic moments. And they come to the city of Medina, and famously, they're welcomed by the girls of Bani Najjar. And the Prophet ﷺ, who comes on a Monday, stays until Thursday in the district now called Quba, one of the famous mosques, and where he would sometimes, in later years, go on to pray Jumu'ah prayers, in the quarter of the Bani Auf, the tribe of Auf. They have the first honour to host him as he comes to the new city. But then, of course, decisions need to be taken in a hurry. Medina doesn't have a leadership. That's why he's been invited. It's fractured. They've been fighting gruesome tribal wars and vendettas for as long as anybody can remember. Who he stays with and how he does it is going to be politically hugely sensitive. And of course, another famous story of the Sira, he has his white camel, Qaswa, and he releases her and lets her decide. And of course, the place where she settles is a place that nobody really had thought much about. Because it's just the little courtyard of a couple of orphans, really the lowest form of life in the eyes of the Arabs of the day, Sahel and Suhail of the Bani Najjar. Two boys who have this piece of land that will be theirs when they come into their maturity. So the camel settles, and the Prophet prays his first Jummah in that place, and subsequently, as he is staying in the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, that becomes the center for the da'wah and the first mosque in Islam. All of the practices which we follow today were first worked out, the first experienced by the Muslims in that place. Today, those who have had the great good fortune of visiting the city of Medina will be overawed by the size of the building that now stands there. It is actually the largest non-industrial building in the world. It just goes on for miles and miles. Sometimes the Saudis will allow special groups, delegations, to visit the Rawda in the middle of the night, and they will give you, say, 20 minutes. But it takes actually 10 minutes now to get from any of the gates to the Rawda. It's such an enormous structure. People pray on the roof, but still people pray outside. That's the gift of faith and the gift of the decisions that they took. But the basis of it, just as the basis of the house of Allah in Mecca is Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Ismail, and that story of rejection and being an outcast, so also the basis of that building is that little patch of land that was owned by those two orphan boys, Sahel and Suhail, who nobody was paying any attention to. Something beautiful and poetic about that as well. And then he finds in the city of Medina, as the ibadat of Islam start to begin and collective worship and devotion becomes possible, he finds that the Jews of Medina are fasting on the day of of Ashura, Hebrew Asur, variants of that. Syriac sounds a little bit similar. Arabic Ashura, and it's the 10th day of the month of Muharram. And he says, Nahnu awla bi Musa minhum. We have more right to Moses than they. وَلَئِنْ بَقِيتُ إِلَى قَابِلْ لَأَصُمَنَّ التَّسْعَى. And if I live to the next year, I will fast the ninth as well. And so for the first year of the Hijrah, the compulsory siyam, the compulsory fast in Islam, is actually the fast of Ashura. That was a fard, an obligation for them. And then in the second year of the Hijrah, the fast of Ramadan is instituted, with the famous verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ, and then شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ, and the fast of Ramadan, as we know it today, and as we celebrate it today, was instituted. But for 1 year of the Hijrah, it was Ashura. And what was it? هَذَا يَوْمٌ أَنْقَذَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى. This is the day on which Allah saved Moses. It commemorates Muslims as well as for Jews, and as well as for others who pay attention to such things, the great exodus from Egypt into Palestine. But look at the difference. What's the big difference? The difference is what happens to the people of Fir'aun and what Moses brings upon them by way of disaster. Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, before his exodus, what is he doing? What is he praying for? He is offered by the angel himself that the angel will bring down upon the heads of Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, Abu Lahab, and those troublemakers, Al-Akhshaban, the two great mountains that overshadow the Kaaba itself. There will be an earthquake and they'll land on their heads, and that will be the end of it. Allahumma akhfir qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun is his response. Instead of saying, yes, do away with them, he says, oh Allah, forgive my people, for they do not know. That's a big contrast. Violent, tragic end of the people of Fir'aun, a very different end for the people of Quraysh. How eventually, despite their appalling treatment of the Muslims, despite sending army after army to the north in order to finally persecute and wipe out, liquidate, ethnically cleanse the Muslims of northern Arabia, finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes back to Mecca, and what does he do to his people? اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمْ أَتْطُلَقَاءُ. Go, you are free. The greatest moment of collective forgiveness and amnesty in history. So he is the brother of Musa alayhi salam. But this is different. There is a certain rigour amongst the prophets of old that we do not find in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a militant dimension, but the principle of forgiveness and of a positive outcome, even to the most dark and unpromising situations, is the basis of his career, and it's very emblematic in the miraculous story of the seerah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us full inspiration from those moments, to give us the success constantly to maintain the sunnah of fasting the day of Ashura, to give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Ashura for his good providence for saving the people of righteousness from the people of unrighteousness. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم, أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين, فقال جل ثناؤه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد, وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون وأقم الصلاة.